I'm a great believer that we are here to create and express. So today I want to talk about the idea that defining the what. And in my mind, I have capitalized every letter of that word, W-H-A-T. Defining the what is the first step in creating. The what, in my description of this idea, is a need that you have, or a desire that you have identified that you would like fulfilled. It is the desired outcome. While it is more effective to have it clear and specific, the what, it shouldn't be so rigid that it prevents an even better outcome than the one that we can imagine. I don't know about you, but I've noticed over the years, after having read this in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill years and years ago, he said that when things start to come to you, they will often come in greater quantities, in greater quality than you had even imagined. So be prepared to allow that when the trickle starts to turn into a serious flood of your desires being fulfilled. I like that idea. And if we're so rigid in our contemplation of the what, you only will entertain the what that you've defined, and you make it limited, that's not such a great idea. This idea that the source of satisfaction, the source of all things, has a capability. That is, it's not as limited as you and I with our imaginations. So what it can do to satisfy our needs and our desires is way better than we might think up for ourselves. As surprising as it may sound, the lack of a what is, in my opinion, the main problem interfering with an improved life. It is surprising to me, and kind of sad, that lots of people have learned not to have a what, or to hold themselves back, as if there's a limited amount. If I have a what, then somebody else on the planet Earth is not going to have a what. That is truly not how it works. There is no limitation. People believe in limitation or scarcity, but that's a marketing idea. Oh, because it's scarce, I have to raise the price. That's what that's about. Abundance is the reality. It is easy for people, if you ask them, what do you want, you will start to hear a whole list of what they don't want. Because those, I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want the other thing. Those things come easily, probably because what we don't want is already in focus. Oh, I'm already experiencing what I don't want, and I don't want what I have. But since it holds their attention, since they invest energy in what they don't want, it seems pretty obvious that, oh, gee, I have more of what I don't want. Exactly. So just focusing on what we don't want is contrary to our creating process, unless we want to create more of what we don't want. That experience of what we don't want, or I'm experiencing a condition that's less desirable than the one I want, it should be just like that bump in the middle of a highway that your tire hits. It's just an indicator to you to change your direction just slightly, change your focus, move the car a little to the right or a little to the left, and now put your attention on what you do want, smooth driving and the creation of a desire or a need. To me, it's interesting, and this is a thoroughly tested idea, that people will do much more to avoid loss than they will to acquire a gain. Let me say it another way. We will do more to avoid a $200 loss than we will to gain an extra $200. You know, how about that? There is something significant in our fear of loss, and loss of energy in any form, continued inevitably, will result in death. You're like, oh, I don't want loss. I don't want a little loss. I don't want a $100 loss. I don't want a $200 loss. I don't want to lose my property. I don't want to lose fill in the blank, because carried to an extreme, it will end in death. We're not in favor of that. The fact that we will do more to avoid a loss is something that could trigger us into a fight in order to prevent that loss. But being in a fight to prevent a loss is not the same thing as being in the development of a constructive what. Fighting just brings more of what we're fighting. We feed what we fight. And you can look at history, recent history in America, with the wars on this and that and the other thing. They're futile. They make the problem even worse. A reason people can become disenchanted with creating a what? What's the point? Why should I even do that? You know, it doesn't really work. But the reason is they fall into a couple of traps, which I'll talk about a little later. But if they immediately move into the how, I have a what, now how do I do it? I want to climb Mount Everest, how do I do it? And if you go into all of those details right off the bat, the what gets subverted right from the very beginning. It doesn't get a chance to be clear and specific, powerful, and energized, because we've shifted our attention from the what, which we wanted to grow, to how, which is a different process entirely. And, frankly, the how is usually very complex. People who start businesses say after the fact, if I knew it was this complicated, I wouldn't have done it. People who have children say, if I knew it was this complicated and so long-lasting, I wouldn't have done it. So, it is better to allow awareness to be received in its own time before focusing on the how. So, grow the what. Grow the what. So it's easy to become overwhelmed and discouraged thinking of the hows. If you thought, I want to walk from where I am to the refrigerator in the kitchen, and you considered the movement of every single bone and muscle and bit of cartilage and everything that has to occur in that process, you'd end up falling down before you even made two or three steps. It's unbelievably complicated to walk. The how is unbelievably complicated. That's not really what we want to work on. I consider the how to be largely the responsibility of the divine. Now, clearly, as children, we learned how to walk by putting one foot ahead of the other. But we didn't have a sense of, oh, let's see, I need to shift. Oh, yeah, center of gravity, yeah. That little child's taking the first few steps, not thinking of center of gravity, not thinking of muscle movement, just trying to, like, move their body in such a way as they maintain their vertical position. And the body will do its best to help accomplish that outcome. So let me distinguish the jobs and whose roles they fall into. And, you know, this is my point of view, so you can consider this to be a point of view, and then when you test it in your own reality, you go, I agree, or no, I think it works this way. But consider this, we have a what, that is the desire or the need. We have a why, that's the purpose of it. Why do you have that? You know, I'm hungry, okay. And if we stop right there, maybe that's satisfactory, and maybe that is sufficient. Or, if we look deeper, maybe there are other whys to why we're putting food in our mouth. The how, I already talked a little bit about. The when, which of course is a function of time. The where is a function of space. And sometimes, whom. Who else is going to be involved in this? No man is an island, and no person is a self-made man or a self-made woman. That's fiction. That is not really how it happens. And anybody who looks at it with a little bit of awareness will recognize a tremendous number of people support other people in their efforts to accomplish things. Because this talk is largely about defining the what, I'd like you to think of the what as a consciousness seed. Like a seed. Everybody's seen seeds. Oh, I got tomato seeds. Oh, I got a pumpkin seed. Oh, I have a apple seed. I have a... Yeah, exactly. It is a consciousness seed, and it wants to grow. It wants to create. It wants to express itself. That's the nature of consciousness. So the consciousness in a pumpkin seed is saying, grow, grow, create, create. It wants to create and express itself. It wants to make pumpkins at the end of the vines and with more seeds, and this goes on and on and on. That's the impulse of consciousness. And it is same in those plants and fruits and vegetables as it is in you and me. And as the co-creator of your life, you as consciousness, in this ocean of divine consciousness, two of you are the creators, defining the what is your job. You get to decide. Now, a lot of people want to be told what they want. And advertising on television, on the radio, in magazines and newspapers, be glad to do that for you. You need this. You need that. You need, it's like, oh, okay. Should I ask my doctor if I need that? Yes, you ask your doctor if this is right for you. But if we take responsibility for that, we're having a whole different experience. In 1992, I moved from New York City, where I lived for 11 and a half years, to San Diego. And there I met a friend who dealt with couples. She did couples counseling and one-on-one, taught muscle testing and a variety of self-improvement things. And we became good friends. And she made a couple, many good points in her presentations to groups. So I would go with my then wife, and we would listen to her. And I particularly liked these three points. She said, women want security. Men, if you want what you want, and we know what that is, provide your woman with security. Help them feel secure. Women, you need to know that men want appreciation. If you want what you want, and we know what that is, you will want to show appreciation to your man. And when you really think of it, security and appreciation, those two energy flows inspire, energize, make us feel safe, make us feel connected, make us feel loved, make us feel trusting. And the third thing that she mentioned that is specific to this conversation is she said, women tend to order short. Order short. I said, yeah, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. And I'll explain that in a moment. These three points, security, appreciation, and ordering short, seem to be connected to defining the what. And they mean several things to me. The first is that women's what's will tend to be related to security, safety, predictability, right? If security is a high priority for women, then their what's are likely to be related to security. Men's what's will tend to be related to situations that will lead to them receiving appreciation, either from themselves or from other people. They're trying to get appreciation. You go, oh, wow, that's cool. So if a woman can be secure enough and a man can feel appreciated enough, you might think, wow, I got the beginnings or the makings of a satisfying relationship with this person. I think so. That's how it works. And the third point, women tend to order short, means to me that when a woman defines a what to herself, she will tend to back off that what and ask for or order less than the what she wanted. If she wanted X, whatever that is, if she wanted X, she will then voice her request for a portion of X, maybe a half of X, or maybe even Y, something other than what she wanted. But those things seem to be an expression of less than. Well, doesn't that concept of ordering short seem like it could be connected to a sense of security? It's almost as if you ask me for what you really want, it sets you up for, I'm not going to give you that. No, I reject that. That's not going to happen. It's a problem. And So in a case like that, you go like, oh, no, no, I'm not going to risk being rejected or told my what is too grandiose, too large, too magnificent, too wonderful for me or for the person who's going to support me in achieving it. It's safer for me to ask for less than what I want. Let's go back to the roles. Whose job is the why? I consider the why to be the purpose and the will of the consciousness seed that I made reference to. You got your what, right? That's what I've been calling it. That consciousness seed is your desire or your need. Now, the why is the purpose and the will that will support it. We create lots of whys in our daily living all day long. I want this, and I like that, and I want this, and I like that. Unfortunately, we create a lot of negative whats, too. I don't like this. Oh, I hate that. That's nasty. I don't want that. And so on. But only a few of these whats that we've created in a daily fashion are clearly defined in both what and why. And I think if we don't have a strong, energizing why for the creating of that what, that seed will wither, right? It's like taking a weak seed, if you will, and it's like, well, it's not going to grow. Anybody who knows anything about plants or growing vegetables and so on would know that, you know what we do before we plant the seed in the soil outside, which can be a more hostile environment, we let these things germinate on the windowsill, in the kitchen, at home, in the sunlight, before we put them in the soil outside. Oh, you help grow this seed up to a certain point, right? So it's stronger that when it goes into the soil outside in the environment, it can endure. Exactly. And I think the why is part of that process for human seed consciousness thoughts. There's a practice in self-improvement circles that I've been exposed to over the years that is designed to help people discover the real motivations in an activity. You know, somebody says, I want to do X. And then it's like, oh, yeah? The practice is to simply ask and answer the question more than one time, like five times, right? After a person states a what, the question is asked, and what will that get you? Then they respond to that question, and then ask repetitively, and it drills down again with, and what will that get you? That's two. And they answer, and what will that get you? That's three. And when they answer, and what will that get you? And that's four. When they answer, and then, and what will that get you? And when they answer it for the fifth time, you have a pretty good shot at actually having drilled down to the real why about something. And then you'll know whether that why will sustain that consciousness seed and grow into physical manifestation, or at least have a good chance at growing into physical manifestation. If we can drill down to and identify the powerful why of our what, we will have created not only a strong seed, but a strongly magnetic seed thought. And by itself, it can be powerful enough to draw awareness. All of a sudden, you notice ideas that support and reinforce and help this idea grow. And now you're drawing awareness, you're drawing resources of how, when, and where. And included in those resources would be the who or the whom, which will help you in the manifestation processes. This is where people come to you and say, gee, I'd like to help you with that. It's like, oh, wow, how did that happen? Well, that happened because magnetically, your what and why drew them to you. How is not really a primary job of the person who's doing the creating. In fact, I think how is a common trap that people who see themselves as problem solvers, I'm a problem solver, how do you do that? Let me do it. Or if they're controlling, they will fall into that trap pretty readily, pretty frequently, because it takes their anxiety and it gives them some sort of physical movement to do it, and then now they're doing it. But that's not really where the creation occurs. The creation occurs on a spiritual, energetic level with the what and the why, not the how. The doing is down the road. I'm a fan of a guy that was called the modern-day Leonardo da Vinci in America, Walter Russell. And his biographer asked, well, when you get so many great ideas, when you get a great idea, why don't you just implement it? He said, why would I do that? Until that idea is clear to me, and clear to me, I don't take any physical action in its support or in its manifestation. I want that outcome, I want the whole process to be absolutely clear to me, and then I take action. This is the idea of prayer, this is the idea of doing codes, this is the idea of EFT, this is the idea of meditating. It is to energize the consciousness seed and to remove the counterintention, to remove the fears, to remove the doubts, remove the beliefs that hold us back and don't allow us to move forward when the time becomes right. This is how that trap of how shows up for a person. A person gets an idea of a desire or a need, and that's easy enough. We do that all day long. But that's, as you know, is the what. But before they devote sufficient attention to discovering the powerful why, they shift gears and they jump to thinking about the how. Can you imagine this? If you and I talked about, let's go to Brazil and take a cruise of the Amazon. And now, having said that, we quickly go, okay, how do you do that? And, well, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and call them, and let's go online, and let's research, and how much money does it take, and what seasons are the best, and when is it flooded, and when is it drought, and, you know, what are the dangers, and what kind of, Zika now, oh, we got to worry about, right? And we get into that, all the hows of that, we will expend all of our energy, and it will not occur. We will not be making that trip, because we would have run out of the energy that needed to sustain the what and the why, but we never did it. If you get into, and if you're human, you have this tendency just like I do, get into the details of the how. It is so easy to get knocked out of balance and get overwhelmed by them. Then it's like, oh my God, all those people I have to talk to, all the transfers and the vaccinations, oh my God, and we get discouraged, and we really, I'm not enough, I'm not energetic enough, I'm not patient enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not this enough or that enough to handle the process, and then we would quit with a sense of failure. Oh, yeah, I had a desire, but it was too hard, so I tried to give up having desires. And people actually get there. They get that. The second major trap happens when we share our what with whom prematurely. Telling people, including family and friends, before our what and why have been firmly established by our thinking and feeling, increases the risk that others will make fun of us or make fun of our what. This is kind of like the plant that I was just making mention of. We germinated on the windowsill in the kitchen in the sunlight in the early spring, and now we're going to put it outside. Well, if we put it outside immediately, there's a killing frost. What's a killing frost? It's when we tell somebody, a friend, a family, about our idea, what we want to bring into physical manifestation. It's about our desire. It's about what we want to be and do and have. And they ridicule us. They are the killing frost. They discourage us. It's like, oh. And then we listen to them and we value their opinion more than our own. Oh, that can never. Oh, you can't do that. Nobody in our family ever did that. Oh, that's impossible. Do you know how much competition there is out there for? And those kind of statements, they deflate us. They puncture the energy field of this seed thought, and it dies. We lead it quit. We then quit. We let somebody else's opinion overshadow our own desire, our own what, because we haven't bothered yet to develop our own why. Conceiving and strengthening our what is both the energy acquisition process that I mention all the time in the energy model of life, and it is the energy preservation process. Those are the two first steps in my energy model of life. Acquire energy and preserve it. Looking for other people's approval can be a huge problem, you know, especially because, like, oh, I just want their attention. Oh, I'm thinking of climbing Mount Everest naked and, you know, backwards. Aren't I cool? Aren't I cool? And we're looking for them to approve of us. Oh, my God, that's a serious undertaking. Wow, you got to be really, wow, that's, oh, you amaze me with that kind of talk. And that's all it is. It's talk. It's talk. And if that's all we wanted is that momentary attention, we get a little teeny fix. That's kind of like burning newspaper. You crumple up a piece of newspaper and throw it into a fireplace in the winter, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, look at that big old flame, and it's hot, and it's gone. Yeah. We're looking for something that is sustainable for the long term. And this momentary attention where somebody gives us a little bit of approval, a little pat on the back, or eyes wide, and, ooh, wow, you're amazing, is really a problem. And just think of this. If other people are threatened by our efforts to improve, to change, to be successful, to be healthy, to be happy, and they go, if you're successful, then you're reflecting to me that I'm not very successful, and now I'm going to have bad feelings about myself. You know what? You just have given me motivation to interfere with your success. I don't want you to be better than me. I'm in a race just like you are. I've got my ego's four driving needs, so I'm going to prevent you from being successful. If you're better looking than me, I'm going to do whatever I can to sabotage that. If you're smarter than me, I would sabotage that. If you're more popular than me, I'm going to... Right? And you just go, whoa. These people are more threatened by us, and we didn't recognize it. We thought, oh, by virtue of this relationship, they should be supportive of me. When we individuate, we're connected and we're related, and we may be blood relatives, but we are individuals, and individuals have their ego needs, and all bets are off unless we're highly evolved, highly aware, and a lot of people are not. So, to summarize, make a list, and make it simple. Make it simple. Make it a list of any what you would like to experience in any or all the 12 worlds. So you've got the spiritual world, the mental world, the emotional world, the physical world. You've got the family world, career world, financial world. You've got the social world, the community world, the political world, and you have maintenance. Did I say leisure? And leisure's in there. So you could look at any one of those and say, I have a need or I have a desire. And just write it down. That's it. Just the need or the desire. That's your what. And you can make that as much as you want. But don't go into the whys. Certainly do not go into the hows. Just make a list of the whats. What you would like to experience. Then, if you have a tendency, I want this yesterday. I want it tomorrow. I want it next week. Let go of the wind. The wind is something you need to come to terms with. This is, while we can manage time to a certain extent, other things are outside of our management. And if we realize that everything takes as long as it takes, it's like, oh, and how will you know? when it's complete, you know how long it took. And I established this rule when I was in corporate America because I noticed that people would say to me, Tom, I'll have that report to you in 2 weeks. When I waited, expecting at 2 weeks to be handed that report, I was often, I would discover that it wasn't done. And after a couple of frustrations, I said, well, I could have changed my rule. They would say, Tom, I'll have that report to you in 2 weeks. I would say, okay, looking forward to it, thank you. And then I would expect to have it in about 4 weeks, because I know everything takes longer than it takes. Oh, I can have that in one day. Okay, thank you. And then when it took 2 or 3 days, it didn't surprise me. When you have that kind of background, if you can adopt that sort of thinking, you're going to realize I'm much more relaxed than I otherwise would be. And guess what? I'm not frustrated. I'm not angry at the rate or lack of progress in this situation. So let's go back to your list. Look at that list and choose one what. That if you were to bring that what into physical manifestation, it would change your life the most. It would dramatically change your life. And of course, you need to be in control, or the major factor in this what. You can't have, I wish they would do this for me. I wish they would buy me a house. That is a what that is not exactly in your best interest. This is about you relating to the source of all that is. That's where you're placing the order with it. You're not, oh, divine, would you make sure these people give me a car or a boat, a house or this or that? That's going to lead to a lot of frustration. This is between you and the source of all creation. So you've chosen one what, one that, if it came into physical manifestation, would change your life for the better, the most. Now you're going to start looking for the whys. Why do you want that? And after that, why do you want that? And what would that get you? Repeat that 5 times. And what would that get you? And what would that get you? When you get down to the energetic why, the real why, now your what and why combination seed thought is going to be strong enough to come into physical manifestation and change your life. And then from that point on, you go, oh, now I got the process. I establish another what, I establish another why, and I create that consciousness seed till it's strong and it starts to manifest, and I know that the divine ocean of consciousness is supporting this activity. It's helping it grow. It's helping it be nurtured and nourished. It's helping it to heal and repair and to improve. And it's protecting it, and it's fulfilling its and my needs. And there's going to be work in it, and there's going to be survival for sure. And it is going to endure. And there's rhythm involved in this, all governed by the law of cause and effect. I like it. And then we say, I am the co-creator of my life. I know how to create, and I know how to express. And it starts with defining the what. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized and modified version of the prayer from Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth, Letter 8. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.